Welcome to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB. There are differing characteristics which shoppers use to inform their buying decisions, and AHDB has explored the shopping habits of 25,000 consumers across three continents to identify opportunities and challenges for red meat exporters. This research has been the most extensive to date to evaluate so-called purchase drivers of shoppers in 17 different markets across Europe, North America, and Southeast Asia. I'm John Bates, and I'm told pork from the UK is performing well in countries such as China, Hong Kong, and the Philippines, with consumers actively seeking out British products due to quality and food safety credentials. Of consumers in the United States and Canada, 10% claim to consciously buy British pork either very or quite regularly, with quality, value and taste being the three top drivers. Europe and Southeast Asia are slightly higher at 17%. I hope you're still with me. Anyway, Steve Evans is AHDB's Senior Consumer Insight Manager, and he joins us now to tell us the story about the value of this research and what it tells exporters. But first, Steve, welcome to the podcast. What do you do, and what are your colleagues in the team get up to most of the time for levy payers?
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on. I'm the Senior Consumer Insight Manager, and I work within the Retail and Consumer Insight team at AHDB. So essentially, we look at consumer shopping behaviour, shopping habits, retail habits. Fundamentally, it's all about trying to understand how the consumer's acting, why they act, and what they're buying. So we look at that in the domestic market, and we do lots of great insight to look at the domestic trends going on. But over the last 3-4 years, we've also been working closely with the AHDB exports team to understand the international markets, which is the context of some of this work, to look at how some of the global trends are impacting food consumption, and then going into a little bit more depth about some of the variations by markets and regions, so that levy payers and exporters can understand about what attracts people to the products they're looking to export.
Okay, so this was a big piece of research. I think you were talking to about 25,000 consumers. So what are the trends?
Yeah, well, it is a comprehensive piece of research. It's no easy task. So the way we tackled it, first off, just to explain the context here, is it's an online survey that's conducted with consumers that are open to the idea of British meat exports. And we did the research across three continents, and we wanted to make sure we got a good sample across each of the individual countries. And then what we did is we asked them consistent questions around buying behaviour and purchase drivers. And when I say purchase drivers, it's essentially the motivations to buy. So what makes people pick up the products in the supermarkets? And then what we did is we did a lot of number crunching behind the scenes, but we were able to then ascertain what were those purchase drivers and how they essentially make their decisions. So essentially some of the findings, what we categorically know is that across three continents, quality is consistently coming out as the top purchase driver. So essentially out of the 17 markets that we studied, quality sat in first or second position for each of those. And it's understanding what consumers see and deem that quality, which we went into further depth, which I can go on to. But underneath quality, we also know in Europe and North America, we know price and taste comes out as really important in the kind of number two and three. But what we saw in particular is in Southeast Asia, food safety jumped right up there and was the second after quality, the most important aspect for them. But interestingly, also in Southeast Asia, when we went on to ask them more about, well, what quality means to them, they reinstated food safety is how they assess quality. So not only is quality coming out, food safety coming out in that top box appearance, it's also getting talked about in that assessment of quality. So what we wanted to do was get underneath the skin of quality and what that means across the continents, because We know that what a consumer might say in Europe on how they assess quality might not be the same in Southeast Asia or North America. So what we found in Europe, it was very much around the kind of taste and the appearance of the products. So we know particularly for meat exports, it's about the taste, the tenderness, the appearance, really, really strong shots about the product, and the really kind of appetizing sort of product shots are going to be really important cues for consumers in Europe. What we saw in North America was taste came through really strongly again, but we also saw very important factors around the kind of freshness and the use by date. So for British exporters, it's going to be really important about how we give that kind of freshness guarantees and how we might get across that confidence in the British products that they see. But interestingly, also in North America, we did see nuances within North America. So in the US, we saw food safety ranked very highly. So talking about sort of antibiotics and hormones are going to be very important talking points for consumers and sort of British exporters when they're trying to tell people about what's in a product or, importantly, what's not in a product. In Canada, we saw very much around freshness and sort of in Mexico, we also saw this sort of reinstating about freshness. And so for British exporters, it's going to be really critical to the North American consumer about how we communicate or give them assurances about how that quality is going to hold firm in the kind of freshness used by date arena. And I said earlier, Southeast Asia, very much around food safety, but we also saw the taste, the use by date. But interestingly, we also started to see the health benefits of the product sort of underneath the skin a little bit of the quality. So I think certly for British exporters, it's very much about being on the front foot or in Southeast Asia on the kind of production standards and food safety, but also how you communicate the kind of taste and the quality attributes of the product in those regions could hold firm.
So I was going to ask you about that, because some of these differences seem to be quite subtle, but they do seem to be good news for British producers. So I was interested really is how does the research translate into long-term trends which help levy payers understand the markets?
Yeah, well, as you say, sometimes it can be a subtle difference which has a big impact, and we have people under the microscope looking at the nuances by marketplace. So the kind of critical thing is understanding the context your products have in the global marketplace. So one thing I should probably add on to this research that we did was not only we looked at the purchase drivers, but we also looked at the role of British in that. So the way we did that is we kind of said around the British products, like how are those British products and British meat products stacking up against their domestic product but other imported one? And what we were able to do, and I won't bore you with all the details, is cross-plot those on a chart and understand those areas that British products stand really firm and do really well at, but also it's important to consumers, because one of the important things here is it's no point shouting about a message that actually is holding no relevance for a consumer in those target markets. So on the kind of the British side of things, what it's showed as well is that in Europe, wording around naturalness and welfare stood really firm, but also it has a great story to tell in kind of the taste and tenderness picture. So really playing on those kind of cues in Europe would hold us in firm stead. And for British as well, that we do have a great story to tell, which could hold us in really good stead in Southeast Asia when we're talking about the production and food safety and going hand in hand, that actually it's all about harnessing some of and amplifying these messages. So that's all as part of the kind of analysis. But going back to your kind of question on the kind of so what for levy payers, they can take that information and really disseminate and choose the areas of which they're going to shout about in international markets. The world's a big place. You want to export products, but it might not be relevant for all regions to target. So hopefully this research will form a critical part of understanding the key toolkit that you can really tailor your messaging, really kind of understand the right product cues, the right product shots, work with the AHDB export team on when you're going out to market by understanding it. But having that firm eye on where the end consumer helps you have those business-to-business conversations with distributors and sellers at trade events when the team are out in market, showing understanding in the market and showing your understanding of the market really holds you in a firm stead to then work out, so how can you nuance your product slightly? How can you give the guarantees around the production, the welfare, food safety to the people that might be, you know, see it as critical in their receiving or exported market?
And from an exporter's point of view then, what I hear you saying is that they can be confident that this sort of research helps spot changes in overseas markets and gives them the opportunity to exploit that commercially.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we do track that over time because the landscape has evolved in the last couple of years. So the work that we're doing now in Southeast Asia, you know, we can track back to the pre-COVID sort of work that we did on exploring Southeast Asia a few years ago to understand what the impact of coronavirus has had or COVID-19 on the global marketplace around food safety and sort of production standards and health on consumers' radar as well. So yeah, fundamentally there's work that we do domestically and internationally which tracks these changes. So the good example is on health. You know, it's you know, the health benefits of a product and what it gives to you has fluctuated across the globe really, and people thinking a little bit more around sort of like what the food they eat and how they consume and their own health.
So consumer insight is in your title, and that's what you do and the team does for levy payers. And then you produce a whole series of reports, don't you, that the levy payers can access?
Yeah, and we do that across a range of formats for the fact that we appreciate that not everyone wants to read large reports. Some people might like your podcasts and listen to yourself, John, analyse and interview staff members, but essentially we also do conference attendees. We spoke at the export conference. We do market analysis reports that we put out to the marketplace, and we've done a series of horizon and country focus reports, and that's all collected on our AHDB Retail and Consumer Insight webpage as well. There's a section on there on international trends, so whatever your market, go and have a look on there. If it's not there, obviously contact a member of the team and we'd love to work with you in more depth to work out sort of how you can harness the power of consumer behaviour.
Steve, great to talk to you. Thanks very much for sparing the time.
Thanks, John.
Dr. Phil Hadley joins us now. He's AHDB's International Market Development Director. Hi, Phil. Thanks for sparing the time. How do you use the research, and does this research really help the exporters that you deal with make decisions to support their marketing efforts?
Yes, well, the role of AHDB is to promote our levy payers' products in those overseas markets. And of course, in order to drive those sales and purchases, we need to understand what really motivates the consumer overseas to buy the product in the first place and to seek out British products, importantly. So this research helps us to understand what's important to consumers in each and every market we're active in, because it's not the same the world over. And what that means is if we understand the consumer better, we can tailor the messages to give our levy payers the greatest opportunity to successfully sell their product at the greatest value. So it's making sure we know exactly what drives that purchase decision, so our levy payers can tailor their messages to get that export opportunity win.
So as we heard from Steve, the good news is that quality's right up there. So, you know, that's great for British producers. There are some other sort of subtle differences. So food safety, animal welfare was one of the issues that Steve was speaking about. Health is an issue. Consumers sort of ebb and flow in some sort of countries over what's important. But levy payers probably feel a long way away from what we're talking about. But export markets really are important, aren't they? They're valuable because of the value that it adds to meat products and maximising the returns on carcasses. Is that right, Phil?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the export value of our beef, lamb and pork products in 2021 delivered more than £1.45 billion sterling worth of value to the supply chain. So that's increasing the value. The export markets are increasing the value for those products that we have on the domestic market or of animals processed in the UK where for a variety of reasons those products or the subsequent products are exported. And that can be because of carcass balance. So things like offals and byproducts are often exported because they're not, generally speaking, part of the regular consumption pattern of a domestic consumer. It can include things like seasonality, particularly in the lamb trade, where we're a net importer in the first half of a calendar year, but we're a net exporter in the second half. So it means that we've got a constant outlet for our products overseas. And then other opportunities, specific cuts into particular markets where they achieve and attract a higher price than they do domestically. What this really means is that by having access to export markets and understanding those markets well, we can target the right product to the right market at the right time. And the sum of all those parts add value up and down the supply chain and all the way back to our levy payers' farm gate.
On behalf of levy payers, I'm bound to ask, were you surprised by the findings? We know quality is important, but is this important evidence that just underpins the way that you approach these markets?
Well, I'm glad to say we weren't hugely surprised by the findings, and that's a really good thing because it means that with our agents and representative around the world and our own intelligence that we gather whilst working on the export market, it means we understand those markets. And this piece of research, it's an important piece of research, and in some respects it reinforces what we anticipate or what we see. But it's really good to have clear outcomes from this work, which, as I say, underpins and reinforces our messages. And I think we can be really positive about some of the key findings. So most consumers in most parts of the world see British products as safe. They see them as products with integrity and products they'd like to buy. So that's a really strong message that our products are in demand overseas. And if we can put those products in front of people, then there's a chance or a likelihood that they will buy them and differentiate them in the marketplace. Not in all cases, but in some cases. So that's a good, strong message. And alongside that, we picked up nuances in different markets, for example. So in the Asian markets, food safety came out very strongly, whereas in the US, that was lower down the list. So as a compare and contrast, it tells us that Asian consumers have a higher degree of concern for food safety and they value our product over some of their own domestic products. So we need to tap into that positive message and really promote our products in the Asian markets on a food safety message and a product integrity type message. Whereas in the US, things like animal welfare and production standards came forward. So it means we can tailor our messages in that market specifically as well. But there are also some clear message that were shared across most of the markets, and that was one about quality. Consumers expect quality and, importantly, value for money. So at whatever price point, they need to be satisfied that the money they spent met their desires or their expected outcome for the product. So we need to make sure that our products not only have the story, but they also deliver on quality and value for money when the consumer purchases them and subsequently eats them.
So if listeners or levy payers needed to be convinced, let's just repeat the fact that you told us that more than £1 billion worth of sales are achieved as a consequence of the export activity. Tell us about some of the successes that you've had recently.
Yeah, well, we have a very active market access program working in partnership with government and industry to identify and deliver access wins. Some of these things take 3, 4, 5 years even to achieve an access agreement. And there's an awful lot of work in the meantime, a lot of it done behind the scenes, desk-based, to get us to where we need to be. So that partnership has been incredibly successful in the last few years. And we've opened a number of new markets. So US beef or access to the US for our beef products opened in 2019 and is now worth around £10 million per annum. We hope during the latter half of 2022 to be able to export the first UK sheep meat to the US for some time. And there's still a little bit of a process to go through for that, but we've achieved an equivalence standard, which means that it's now an administration process. And at the export conference in March, we were able to announce that the Chilean market for British pork, UK pork, had opened following a partnership between industry and government to complete the necessary documentation. And as a result of that, 27 businesses will enjoy increased access to that market, or access for the first time, in fact. And we estimate that to be worth £20 million sterling to the sector in the first 5 years of trade. We also have access dialogues ongoing with China, for example, to increase our access both for beef and sheep meat. And all of these opportunities mean that we're able to look at potentially greater scope of countries to be able to sell our products to maximise the value of each and every part from each and every animal.
All of this sounds like really good news, Phil. Thank you very much indeed for sparing the time to come on the podcast. If you have any comments about this podcast or ideas for future episodes, you can email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk. AHDB really do want to hear from you. Thank you to guests Steve Evans and Phil Hadley. This podcast was produced by Miriam Druitt. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.